HD Smartcast. You are listening to a Mint production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Hi guys, I'm Prasad Banerjee and I write about tech at Mint.
And this is TechCetra, a podcast
where we tackle some hot topics in technology
and also
bust some myths. Today's episode will be hosted by RJ Ayush. Ayush is a RJ with Fever FM and hosts his own tech show called Tech Panti. Over to you, Ayush.
Hey guys, welcome to a brand new episode of Mint TechCetra, brought to you by GE Healthcare. Have you or someone you know ever been affected by cancer? The chances are high, as globally cancer is responsible for 9% of deaths each year. In India alone, the number of incident cases of cancer is expected to increase by 12% by 2025. While the burden of cancer continues to rise, innovative technologies are being developed to improve the diagnosis, treatment, and management of the disease. But what challenges do we still face in providing comprehensive cancer care? And how can AI and precision care help bridge the gap? Join us today as we dive into the future of oncology with Dr. Ben Newton, General Manager of Oncology at GE Healthcare. Dr. Ben Newton has been at the forefront of the medtech industry for over 25 years. From leading drug, diagnostic, and prognostic products to spearheading innovative businesses at GE Healthcare, he has been driving forward the transformation of cancer care. As the global head of oncology at GE Healthcare, Ben is focused on enabling doctors to diagnose and treat cancer earlier, providing integrated care solutions, precision therapy guidance technology, and AI-powered clinical decision support software. With a passion for delivering personalized care to patients, Ben is here today to share his insights on the industry landscape and how GE Healthcare's oncology products and solutions will bridge the existing cancer care gap. Hey, welcome, Ben. It's a pleasure to have you here. With cancer being responsible for 9% of deaths worldwide and the incidence rate in India projected to increase by 12% by 2025, it is clear that cancer care is an urgent issue. Although there have been advancements in cancer care, what do you think are the biggest challenges facing cancer care today? As someone with expertise in the medtech industry, I'd love to hear your thoughts on this.
Ayush, thank you for the question. It's a really important question, but let me just put that into context. Globally, there are around 20 million new cases each year. So 20 million new cases of cancer across the board. Unfortunately, the mortality each year is about 10 million. So there are patients surviving cancer, and that collectively adds up to, at any one time in the year, around 50 million patients with cancer, 50 million people with cancer. Now, in India, how does that manifest? You talk about a 12% increase in incidence. Well, each year, there are around 1.5 million new cancer patients in India. And those cancers range from head and neck to lung to breast to cervical, and in particular to oral in the case of head and neck and GI cancers. I think some of the big challenges that we face here is awareness. Around 30 to 50% of all cancers, and that includes the list that I just described to you, they're preventable. So awareness about the causes, environmental and lifestyle are really important to understand how we can cut and reduce those figures.
Early detection of cancer, it's so important, you know, for people. And when you did touch upon this point of awareness, what do you think as an industry expert, as a global leader, a small practice that people can include where we can detect cancer easily and early?
So It's a really important topic, and I think it's an important topic for everyone. Firstly, awareness about your lifestyle. You know, sometimes it's quite easy to not be aware. You know, we live our lives in a very busy, very hectic way. And so we're not always aware of the things that we do or that maybe are compromising the likelihood of us developing cancer. So obviously, smoking is a factor in lung cancer, but also taking tobacco, chewing tobacco, and so on plays a part in oral cancers and head and neck cancers. Lack of exercise, not being active enough, having a diet rich in fat and not having that exercise can also be important risk factors, as well as, of course, alcohol, the usual kinds of things that can compromise our immune system. And, you know, as we all get older, you know, we are getting healthier. We are having a better standard of living, and that leads to longer life. Our immune systems, as we get older, become compromised. Our immune systems are, if you like, the first line of defense against cancer. It's our immune systems that fight off cancer. That becomes compromised, so it become less able to tackle those factors. And of course, let's remember too that there are viral components, there are bacterial components as well. So there are other things, as well as our lifestyle and our diet and so on, as well as our increasing age, which are all play a part. So I think the small things that you described that we can do is be aware of small changes in your own body. For example, in the case of breathing and lungs, if you have a non-productive cough, if you cough and it's not explained by an infection, it's not explained by something that you know you can relate to in terms of a cold or a flu or something, and that cough is not productive, go and see your physician. Equally, if you're a woman, if you begin to notice something unusual in terms of your body, go and get that checked out. Non-specific pain in your abdomen that makes you feel uncomfortable, being tired, losing weight in an unexplained ways. Sometimes there's stigma attached to going getting checked, but please do go and get checked by your physician. All of these things are important. If you're a gentleman, if you're getting in the night, going to the bathroom too often, and you're not getting enough sleep, those sorts of things may indicate something problematic as well. But go and get checked out. So it's noticing little changes in how your body is responding to your lifestyle or your specific situation, which is what we all need to be aware of. And of course, having been in India the last few days, the care system is wonderful. The physicians are empathic. They're waiting to work with people to help them identify these symptoms. So these are the simple things I think we can do to be aware.
How can we address the most glaring gaps in cancer care? What is the role of AI in delivering precision care, especially in the case of a complex disease like cancer?
It's a great question. And of course, imaging and AI especially are playing an increasingly important part in cancer detection and diagnosis. So firstly, with respect to imaging, I would say, there are a number of cancers which can be detected through screening-based technology. So basically through imaging. Breast cancer is a great example. Women can go for periodic screening exams using a technique called mammography. Mammography can pick up anything untoward, anything unusual in the breast that may be indicative of an early stage cancer. So those kinds of imaging procedures, really important to get checked out periodically, especially if you feel a small lump or anything of that nature, go and see your physician to do that. Now, AI is increasingly being used to help physicians support a definitive diagnosis. When those imaging results come through, sometimes some of the lesions are not very easy to actually discriminate from other background tissues in the breast. So AI can help support, is that true cancer or is it not? Equally, in the case of lung cancer, again, if you go and get checked out to make sure you've got healthy lungs, the physician can use a technique called X-ray or a technique called CT, computer tomography, to look at the lungs and to look at what's called lesions or nodules. Now, these nodules oftentimes are not a problem. They're benign and we all have them. But some of these actually are problematic and may convert into a cancer. So discriminating those nodules which may be malignant from those that are not is key. Now, physicians are well trained in being able to do so, but sometimes the borderline cases become really challenging, and that's where AI can help speed up the risk stratification of those nodules to say, actually, this looks a real problem, really accelerate that patient into the care pathway for deeper checks, biopsy, for example, or blood tests and things like that. So I think in those imaging-based screening and diagnostic tests for breast and also for lung, and there are examples for prostate too, AI is increasingly playing a part in making decisions more straightforward, making them more efficient, and making the workflow around patients' progression actually a lot easier.
Great answer, Doctor. Can you share some insights on GE Healthcare's oncology products and solutions?
Yeah, I mean, just to give you a sense of the scale of things, GE's technology in hospitals generate around 4 billion images each year. So that just gives you an example of the kinds of numbers of images that are being generated. We operate in 160 countries globally, and we have technology that supports screening and diagnosis and monitoring of cancer across all of the top cancers. So if you think about head and neck, of course, lung, breast, prostate, upper GI and lower GI, particularly stomach cancer, colorectal cancer, and so on. All of these cancers can be screened or diagnosed with magnetic resonance, so MR, CT, computed tomography, X-ray, mammography, as I said, for breast, and ultrasound, of course. Now, ultrasound is extremely interesting because people will be familiar with ultrasound as being a technology that is used in obstetrics and gynecology. You know, you can visualize the baby growing in the womb, but of course it's also used for seeing and confirming diagnosis or confirming in real time what's happening, or biopsy guidance, for example. When you take a biopsy to confirm the diagnosis, ultrasound is used. So we use all of these technologies along the care pathway for those top cancers I explained. But what we're also doing is developing some of those AI that are used in those systems, as I said, to reduce false positives. And what we mean by that is, in those, sometimes the cancer or the lesion, I should say, looks risky, and the physician, to be on the safe side, refers the patient. And in a lot of cases, that lesion turns out to be no problem at all, completely benign, maybe something unrelated to cancer. And that referral sometimes leads to unnecessary biopsy, unnecessary intervention. So AI can support the reduction of those false positives. Equally, where a case looks like there's no cancer, sometimes those cancers can be overlooked. So what physicians might use AI for is to give a much more confident view on whether that's true cancer or not. So reducing false negatives, so a lesion that looks benign and is reported as benign is in fact cancer, AI can help there too. So we have a number of capabilities on our technologies that will support all of those use cases. But I would say also, when you think about the need in oncology, we're transforming the way we work with partners that deliver therapy too. So I'll give you some examples. In cancer, there are essentially three types of treatments. There's radiation treatment, where radiation is directed to the cancer to kill off the cancer, essentially. And that has to be highly precise, targeted very much to the lesion to avoid all of the healthy tissue. And then the second type, of course, is surgery. Surgical intervention to get out that cancer, to remove that tumor. And again, you need precision around where that is, and surgical intervention and image-guided surgery is an area that we operate. And the third area is around medical oncology or chemotherapy or hormone therapy, or what is increasingly being called targeted and immunotherapy, where the actual mutations that are causing cancer are blocked or corrected or circumvented, or the immune system is boosted with immunotherapies so that your own body can help fight off the cancer, as I explained before, that is particularly important in many cancers. So boosting the immune system is a big area. So if you think about those three areas of therapy, we can support and we have active programs around linking the diagnosis and the therapy so that the optimal treatment is selected in the case of medical therapy, or in the case of image-guided or radiation therapy, that radiation therapy is absolutely targeted to where it's needed. And the workflow in between, which is really important to providers of care, is optimized and enabled so the interoperability of systems can be made much easier. So all of these spaces can be supported with software tools and AI tools to make that process much more efficient and outcomes much more effective as well.
We read a lot of news articles and there's a lot of news about how at times there are errors done by doctors in finding out that if it is a cancer patient or not, and that could lead to a loss of life. Do you think that technology in current days and the days to come is going to reduce the number of human error?
Yes, I think that's the case. I think what we have to do, though, is take a little step back, because we know that part of the reason behind those errors is doctors are very busy. They often work long hours. Oftentimes, they have too much to do. And it's very, very easy in the case of cancer to miss one piece of information, or in fact not truly be able to link two pieces of information together to make the right decision. Equally, of course, there's the genetic situation in a patient. You know, some patients react adversely to treatments, and it's really difficult to understand which patients are going to respond in a way that is typical or respond in a way that is distinct to their own genetic makeup. So it's these examples actually that generally cause problems. So what's changing and how can we help? Well, I think this workload problem can be supported by AI, the kind of tools that are described that will allow and facilitate data access and information access to the physician, so that perhaps bringing together data so it's all in one place, rather than physicians and nurses spending hours and hours pulling together the records and finding the biopsy data or finding the imaging data or finding the patient history data and putting all of that together in their own heads. We can use AI to do that for us, present that data accurately and faithfully so that physician can actually see that and not spend time and waste time doing that, but actually then get to the patient's decision and hopefully the precision themselves. Equally, on the other point about patients responding adversely, again, generally there is a need to better match therapies to those patients. If a therapy is not well matched, then the chances are there are going to be more side effects and less of a beneficial effect, the actual effect that you're looking for. So this matching of therapy to the patient can be facilitated by AI. And this is an important thing with respect to genetics. Genomics and next generation sequencing technology now enables us to find out the specific mutations that are causing our cancers. And there are companies that GE is partnering with that do that beautifully. Biopsies can be taken, and then the exact genetic signature can be defined, and that genetic signature can be linked with the precise drug that is needed to treat that patient effectively. When that happens, you link the imaging and the genomics with the therapy, you can actually reduce the potential for side effects and maximize the effects for efficacy. So all of these things are going to become part and parcel, I think, of the way we manage in the future, and hopefully the workload and the burnout and some of those decisions that go wrong will be minimized.
How important is early detection in improving cancer patients' outcomes? And what can be done to encourage early screening and diagnosis in India, especially given the estimated number of incident cases of cancer in India for the year 2022?
So a fantastic question. And I think we touched on it briefly earlier, but if you consider that 30 to 50% of all cancers are preventable, just think about that in terms of what that means for India. With close to 1.5 million new cancer cases each year in India, preventing 30 to 50%, it's a huge number of preventable cases that we're talking about. So the awareness about the causes, as we discussed, and reducing those causes, taking them away, tobacco, lifestyle, diet, all of those things, healthy living can really play an important part. But equally, the awareness about changes in your own body, recognizing those things that are unusual in yourself. We all know ourselves better than anyone. But oftentimes, of course, as we said, our busy lives mean that we don't take notice necessarily. But just thinking through those things, being aware of changes that perhaps are unexpected or unusual, are the best way to prevent. But there are, you know, in addition to that awareness, you know, the need for education amongst not only patients and people, but physicians as well, in advising and helping patients to come forward if they do see something, and not be scared about stigma or not being scared about wasting time. I think oftentimes we can think that, oh, it's nothing to worry about, or it'll go away, those kinds of things. I think where your concerns really err on the side of caution, go and see your physician. That's how we can prevent a lot of cancers. You know, an amazing statistic with respect to this whole space is, if cancer is detected early, and what I mean by early is when cancer is at stage one or two, so when a tumor is very small and has not started to spread, the chances of survival are over 70 to 90%. In many cases, more than 95%. So breast and prostate cancer, early detection, stage one and two, 5-year survival is in the high percentages, 80, 90, 95%. If you wait only a few months and that cancer goes from stage one or two to stage three or four, so it starts to spread to lymph nodes or starts to spread through the body, then for many cancers, the survivorship comes down to only a few months. So this critical point of detection, being aware, detecting early, early signs, symptoms, changes, and so on, and coming forward for those tests, absolutely the way to reduce incidence and, of course, mortality in India.
How do you envision the coming decade with AI customizing cancer care solutions as per patient's individual needs?
So that's probably the biggest challenge and also the biggest opportunity I think we see, because I think we're on the cusp of huge improvements. I mean, I've spent the week in India, had just the most amazing experience with the teams and the customers and the partners that met. But there is so much happening with respect to all of the things we talked about, awareness and next generation sequencing and imaging and AI, all starting to bubble up in India. And as we see that happen, the ability to integrate those data, to work with just some of the most leading scientists in the world in India, to create ways to predict disease, to support decision-making around selection of therapy, to automate that, to help doctors so they don't get burnt out, so they can actually get decisions supported with confidence because of that connection with historical data. All that's going to happen. So I think there's going to be huge growth in the access to imaging, the access to genomics. And with that access, we'll create more data. That data and our ability to investigate it and find relationships will create AI that can sustain and build further improvements in outcomes, health economically and clinically as well. So there's a lot to look forward to. Key to all of this is the awareness and making sure we play our part, if you like, in coming forward if we feel unwell and getting checked out. And I think all of those pieces will start to come together in a country like India. And I think we should be optimistic about that.
Thank you so much to have shared your time, Dr. Ben Newton. It was a pleasure having you on Mint TechSectra. This was brought to you by G Healthcare.
And that's it for this week's episode. Please do let me know what you thought of it and what else you would want me to cover. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Undertaker. Yes, Yes, you heard that right. That's UNDERTECHER. You can also give us feedback at HT Smartcast. We're present on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And please do log on to htsmartcast.com and listen to all of our productions.
This was a Mint production brought to you by HT Smartcast.
HT Smartcast.